Let's read together Romans chapter 3, verses 21, right to the end of the chapter. Now, in these verses, we read about God's wonderful plan of salvation for mankind. After 2.5 chapters of inescapable proof that everyone is guilty before God, what a glorious relief it is to find that God has a plan of salvation for guilty sinners. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. All right, let's begin this second half of Romans 3 with some background notes. The theme of Romans is the righteousness of God and the gospel of God. In Romans, the gospel of God is not only proclaimed, it is taught. Romans answers the big question: how can a righteous and holy God save unholy and unrighteous people? Now, to set the stage for the answer to that question, the Apostle Paul writes the first 2.5 chapters of Romans to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that all the world is guilty before God. In chapter 1, the uncivilized and uneducated and immoral person is shown to be guilty before God. Romans chapter 1 takes into account the godless heathen and the idolatrous pagans. All are guilty and without excuse before God, because God says that he has given them enough evidence of himself so that they can and should respond to the true God. So if anyone ever asks you the question, what does the Bible have to say about the poor, ignorant native in Africa, tell them to read Romans chapter 1. But now in Romans chapter 2, Paul goes on to show that it's not only the uncivilized and immoral person that is guilty before God, the good and morally upright, self-righteous person is also guilty before God, because God's standards are much too high for anyone to attain them. And also in chapter 2 and in the first half of chapter 3, the religious Jew is found to be guilty before God. The Jews had the law of the true God, but they couldn't keep it. So they too are guilty before God. So all the world is shown to be guilty before God. There is no one righteous. No, not one. Chapter 3, verse 10. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Chapter 3, verse 12. So naturally speaking, all hope is gone. It's only a matter of time before the wrath of God will come and we will all perish. But wait a minute. There is a but in Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Praise the Lord. There is a way out. God has a plan of salvation. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful plan of salvation for helpless mankind. Now let's look at the details of this plan in our doctrinal points or teaching points for this section of Romans chapter 3. So doctrinal or teaching point number one: God's plan of salvation does not compromise the righteousness of God. God's plan of salvation does not compromise the righteousness of God. Verse 21 once again. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. God's plan of salvation for sinful people does not lower God's standards of righteousness. God's righteousness is actually revealed in the gospel. In verse 26, we see that God's plan of salvation demonstrates the righteousness of God, that God might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. To be justified means to be declared righteous. God's plan of salvation is so wonderful that God can declare the sinner who believes in Jesus righteous and yet at the same time maintain his own righteousness and not in any way compromise his righteousness. And in verse 31, we read, "Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law." In other words, does God's plan of salvation in any way lower the standards of God as seen in the Mosaic Law? What's the answer? No way. Certainly not. God's plan of salvation actually establishes or upholds the law because the righteousness of God is not compromised in any way. God's plan of salvation does not compromise the righteousness of God. Doctrinal point number two. God's plan of salvation is not foreign to the Old Testament. God's plan of salvation is not foreign to the Old Testament. Verse 21 again. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. God's way of salvation, which is by grace through faith, is not something God dreamed up on the spur of the moment. It is witnessed by the law and the prophets. That is the Old Testament. Now, how is God's plan of salvation witnessed by the Old Testament? First of all, think of the sacrifices of the Old Testament. They all pointed forward to the one great sacrifice to come, the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then, of course, there were the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, pointing forward to the Messiah to come and the salvation that he would bring. And then think of how God saved people in the Old Testament. Not by works, but by grace through faith. Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. By grace through faith. And we'll see this point emphasized in Romans chapter 4. God's plan of salvation is not foreign to the Old Testament. Doctrinal point number three. God's plan of salvation requires faith, but no works. God's plan of salvation requires faith, but no works. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Notice it doesn't say the righteousness of God to all who work, or it doesn't even say the righteousness of God to all who believe and work. No, it says the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Period. What a wonderful truth. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. Notice, no works, justified freely by his grace. And verses 27 and 28, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. In other words, faith, yes, but no works. Now, some of you might be thinking, but what about James 2:26, which says faith without works is dead? Well, James is talking about the kind of faith that saves, all right? Saving faith is not real if it's just a mere profession. Saving faith is the kind of faith that gives evidence of itself by works. But those works do not save. They are the result of salvation. God's plan of salvation requires faith, but no works. Doctrinal point number four. God's plan of salvation includes redemption and propitiation. God's plan of salvation includes redemption and propitiation. Verses 24 and 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Redemption, as you know, is the idea of buying out of the slave market of sin. That was our condition before salvation. That is your condition today, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior. But the price of our redemption has been paid. What was it? The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ propitiated or satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God, so that the mercy of God and not the wrath of God can be shown to the guilty sinner. That's why God can be just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. This propitiation was foreshadowed in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement, when the blood of the atoning sacrifice was placed on the mercy seat before God in the Holy of Holies. God's plan of salvation includes redemption and propitiation. And doctrinal point number 5, God's plan of salvation covers sins committed before the cross. God's plan of salvation covers sins committed before the cross. Verse 25 says that God's plan of salvation demonstrates his righteousness because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Does that mean that God swept sin under the rug in the Old Testament times? No. The idea is that God passed over these sins in the sense of time. God is not limited by time. God is outside of time. Therefore, when Christ died on the cross for sin, it was for the sin of the world, past, present, and future. So God's plan of salvation covers sins committed before the cross. Doctrine point number 6, God's plan of salvation is for all people. God's plan of salvation is for all people. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the bad news. But now look at verses 29 and 30. Or is he the God of the Jews only? He is not. Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. So God's plan of salvation was not just for the Jews, but for Gentiles also. It's for the whole world. God's plan of salvation is for all people. Practical application. You can't jump across the Grand Canyon. You can't jump across the Grand Canyon. Let's just suppose we all tried to jump across the Grand Canyon. Well, we would all jump out a few feet, but we'd all die. The best broad jumpers in the world would jump out much further than all of us, but they would still fall far short. You certainly see the illustration. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall far short of God's standards of perfection. Far short. Everyone, no matter how upright they are, no matter how moral they are, it's like jumping across the Grand Canyon. You can't do it. But God has provided a bridge in the illustration. The bridge is Christ. Why not take the bridge and live? Remember, you can't jump across the Grand Canyon.